So, our first review of the day is going to be for the film Kung Fu Panda 2. Many people have been telling me about this. I've never seen Kung Fu Panda 2. I've seen the first one, and we did a review of the first one. That's up on the channel right now, youtube.com, The Afternoon Tune. You'll be able to find our review. Brandon was also on that review with us there discussing it. But I've never seen the second one. I've never seen the second one before. And many people, when I said I haven't seen the second one, they treated it like it's the Dark Knight for kids. Like, you haven't seen the second Kung Fu Panda? Like, how dare you? This is the best one of the series, apparently. That's what a lot of people were saying. We are reviewing these movies because the fourth one is coming out in March, I think, right? This one.
Yeah, I think it's the 8th, I want to say.
Is it March? God damn, March is busy.
Yeah, early yeah. March.
Everything is coming out in March. This is coming out pretty soon. So wanted to go back, look at the series. Like I said, these are the movies that helped build DreamWorks. You know, DreamWorks was kind of seen as the secondary studio next to Disney, Pixar. But they really showed up with How to Train Your Dragon movies, with this series, of course, Shrek, the Puss in Boots movies, very much like that. So we have in this sequel, Poe is returning with the Furious Five. And there's a new villain in town that's ready to conquer China, and that is Lord Shen. Lord Shen, who in this is voiced by Gary Oldman. He also has a connection to Poe's past that Poe doesn't know of as of yet. But yeah, Lord Shen has got a deadly new weapon, but he's troubled by destiny, by fate. You have a soothsayer telling him, voiced by Michelle Yeoh in this, who Michelle Yeoh, the stock on Michelle Yeoh is high right now. Everybody wants Michelle
Yeoh. Oh, yeah.
So they probably got her for pretty good in this one. He tells her that you will be defeated by a warrior of black and white, which leads him to basically genociding most of the pandas there.
Oh, there's no basically. That's exactly what
it is. Exactly.
Like, that's one of the first notes I have. I was like, oh, wow, genocide of pandas. Like, take this, kids.
Yeah. Basically doing that, but he forgot one. Poe was able to escape there. And so... basically, you have him teaming up with the Furious Five to face off against the evil Lord Shen and stop him in his evil plans. So I'm going to go around and get you guys' opinion on this movie. Brandon, what are your thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 2?
Okay, well, yeah, I was definitely one of those people telling you that this is a great movie, best of the series. I don't know if it was just the right time when I saw it, when it came out, but like it just hit all the right notes for me. Did everything that the first one did, but like better. I think it's just like a legit solid action flick, like not even like taking away kids' movie, taking away animation, taking away all that. I think it's just like a really solid kung fu flick. Voice acting is great. Lord Shen is probably my favorite villain of the series. I think Gary Oldman goes very ham, as he is known to do given the circumstances. I just really love this movie. When rewatching it, I was like, maybe I overhyped it. Do I like it as much as I think I do? And then I was like, oh no, fuck, I do. What am I saying? Kung Fu Panda 2 is fucking solid, rock solid.
Hunter, what about you?
It's one of my favorite sequels ever. I know I'd seen it, like, but I could not tell you the last time I actually watched it. And so, like, Brandon was kind of hyping it up to me, like, dude, you're going to really enjoy it. I was like, okay, because I enjoy the hell out of the third one. Like, the third one's probably a solid tune in for me. I really dug the third one. I saw it in IMAX 3D, and it was fucking awesome. So going into this one, I was like, okay, let's see what it's got. I remember the peacock scaring me. I always remember being like, man, the peacock is weirding me out. And then, yeah, Gary Oldman, it's like, yeah, of course, the peacock's terrifying. But yeah, pandas are kind of my thing. Like, I fucking love pandas. And so seeing a panda genocide, I was like, god damn, like, we're doing this. All right, you know, fuck your childhood. But one thing I always love about a sequel is seeing an actual progression of the character so that they're more competent. They still have more to learn, but they're not, you know, novice anymore. I think to How to Train Your Dragon 2 as a great example of that. If you go like, okay, Hiccup and Toothless, they've been doing this for a minute. So they're kind of in tandem, and that's very similar to Poe and the
Furious Five.
That you can tell that they've been fighting together. You get a lot more kind of team up.
Combo moves,
team up attack. Yeah, like very Marvel Ultimate Alliance-y.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like
name form.
Yeah, which is so fucking cool. Like their tandem moves are a ton of fun to watch, and this opening sequence in particular. One thing DreamWorks, especially over the last, I'd say 20 years, has been just better at than Disney animation, really at every turn, has been the music they use for fight scenes and the music they use for chase scenes. Like, they've been masterful at both of those. And I brought up the example in the chat earlier of there's this chase in the Penguins of Madagascar movie, which is fucking excellent, and it's like this very it's very cool in the way that the chase scene is filmed. And here, the way that right there where Poe is going ahead and protect, I was like, this is so fucking cool. And it's just and the camera's always moving, and it's just, it's wonderful. It's such a joy to watch this movie. And yeah, this is, Brandon's right, this movie just kicks all sort of ass. It's wonderful.
Damn, she using them as a baton and shit.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
They throw Poe around a lot.
Man, that's amazing.
Poe's fine. Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, balance. You know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is, I think, a fun movie here. I would discuss whether it's better than the first one. I've never seen the third one. I have not seen. Okay.
Their one's a lot of fun still.
It is. I rewatched it, and I was like, I hadn't seen it in a while. I had seen it like once, and I was like, I don't really like the third one. But rewatching it, I was like, okay, it is actually quite good.
Okay. It really is. One thing I love is his I'm blanking. Help me out, Brandon. The guy who trains Poe,
Master Shifu.
It's 5 minutes and 45 seconds in. It's not even 6 minutes. He goes, yeah, when you're named the Dragon Warrior, it was the worst day of my life. I was like, God damn, dude. I'm like, you're not even 10 minutes in and you're just shitting on Poe. It's like, no, I cannot express in words. It was the absolute lowest point I've ever. And Poe's sitting there like, what the fuck, dude? What I did?
Yeah.
I think he says it right here.
From the universe?
From a messenger.
Oh yeah, of course.
Our greatest master.
Oh no, he doesn't.
He's just shitting on Poe, just straight up. Like, yep, didn't want you to be the Dragon Warrior. Really upset that you are. And he takes this long breath, deep breath. Like, okay, I've talked shit about you for the last 90 seconds. I guess I should, you know, back in. This is
right.
But it's great, and that's how the movie starts. And it's just Dustin Hoffman's great in this. Like
he is, honestly. He might be my favorite voice actor in these movies, honestly.
He's great across the board. I think the one that always surprises me, just because he did those shitty Alvin and the Chipmunks movies, is a David Cross's Like, that's always one of those. I'm like, oh yeah, that is David Cross. It's like, that's like, he's great. But we were discussing it earlier, Brandon. This might be a top three Angelina Jolie role.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she's incredible in all three of these. And it's always one of those things where it's a nice acknowledgement to know who's voicing name here. But there's a point where you just kind of forget who it is because you just get immersed in the character. And and she's probably the most interesting character outside of Poe, because she... Yeah, in the first
movie, almost secondary lead in this one, I feel.
Yeah, because in the first one, like, you get why they're pissed. Like, they've been fighting their training their whole lives, and you know, it's in, you know, this fucking buffoon like literally falls from the sky, and this old ass turtle goes, you, and everyone goes, the fuck. So like, you actually get why they're pissed, and her especially, because she's a badass, and she's been training them, and she's been working for this. And then you know, this fucking noodle cooker falls in. It's like, oh nope, it's you. And so she's angry about it. But then what's really cool about the first film is that you see how he's trained and how he's like kind of an indictment on public education, weirdly too. It's like like you need to not train everyone the same way. Everyone learns differently, and once they figure out how Poe learns, it's like, oh, you can actually be shockingly effective if we actually play to your strengths. And then once Poe believes that he can, it, you know, he's able to go ahead and become a great warrior, which you get more of here. I think my biggest surprise is that it's always nice when movies don't talk down to kids, which is one of my biggest fucking pet peeves in reviewing. And you never feel like this movie is talking down to kids. Like, there's a death like 15 minutes in, like straight up, just like, oh yeah, he died. And you're like, oh yeah. And you're like, oh, and they don't show it, but it, like, if you're a kid, you'll go like, oh, giant flash, oh shit, that guy's probably gone. And it's and the movie never lets up on the actual consequences of that, which is really good actually for kids to see. And you get some good stuff on Poe's backstory, which is, man, like, I know we talked about the genocide, but it's tragic the way it happens. Like when you figure it out, it's like, oh wow, I just want to give the panda a hug. It's there's a lot going on in this movie, and it balances it all pretty well.
Yeah, and they do a really cool different animation there when they do the whole backstory.
Yes, I love that.
Which is this type of animation, which is really nice, really cool that they do. Really assist the tone there, which I like. So this, I think the very beginning of the movie, they give the whole backstory to Michelle Yeoh narrating, giving the whole backstory of Lord Shin, and how he turned into the villain there, which is very cool.
Which, because he was an asshole, like, that's why. he had it made and just couldn't help himself, wasn't okay with just being the ruler of spot A. It has to be everything. And one thing I actually love about Poe is that he even tries to save him at the end, and it's not in like a dumb way where he like turns his back or anything like that, because that is a trope for me that I fucking hate in movies, where it's like, you know, they just had this giant battle and the good guy's gonna turn his back on the villain and potentially get stabbed. I fucking hate that shit. And Poe's not dumb enough to do that shit. Poe's actually having a conversation with him, going like, look, dude, this is why, you know, this is why you fail.
Keep your elbows up and keep your shoulders loose.
Not that. How did you find peace? I took away your parents. Everything. I scarred you for life.
See, that's the thing, Shen. Scars heal.
No, they don't. Wounds heal.
Oh, yeah. What do scars do? They fade, I guess?
I don't care what scars do.
You should, Shen. You gotta let go of that stuff from the past, because it just doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what you choose to be now.
Your lesson.
Yeah, seriously. And then he tries, and then he basically green goblins himself, which that's exactly what you're asking kids. But what's great about Oldman is kind of like Master, oh my god,
Shifu.
Fuck, Master, thank you.
There you go.
Kind of with him, part of Poe's it's almost like an unintentional Spider-Man, because part of what makes Poe so frustrating is that he is this panda who's like aware of what he's doing, but kind of isn't. Like, there's like almost like a Three Stooges aspect to how he fights, and
drunken very master. Aloof.
Yeah, it's kind of like drunken style in that way, but. But there's so many times where the peacock's like, oh, he's gone, ha ha. And then, like, Poe just happens to escape in the bottom of the ninth. He's like, god damn it. He's like, this panda won't die. And it's really quite, and it makes you more endeared to Poe, but you see Poe actually gaining more confidence as these things happen. That last fight is fucking so good. Excellent. It is like I got goosebumps actually watching him kind of finally find his inner peace, which, my god, that whole sequence. You were talking about the change up in animation, Josh, but this is just why animation works. Like, movies like this show
this scene right here.
This scene, dude, I lost my shit.
It's so good.
Cause it's his in-game moment. You know, it's Captain America looking out and going like, oh, well, this is probably how it ends. You know, fuck it. Let's go down swinging. And Poe's like, okay, this guy wants to kill me. I'm willing to distract him and take the sacrifice to save everyone else. It's like, that's such a, like, oh my God, the scene, it
rocks. The music, everything.
And there's like the amazing thing about this too is that DreamWorks has such a respect for martial arts, the way that they portray everything in these movies. Like, because there could be a level of just like, you know, we're cashing on this, who gives a shit? But yeah, there is respect shown to like all the different styles, like Crane style fights Crane style, and like there, like there's an actual cleverness to how everyone fights, that each fight does feel different. There's a the stealth scene with the dragon is a laugh.
Oh yeah,
like that shit was so goddamn funny. Plus you see this bunny kid see like someone eat, like the dragon eat one of the wolves, and just and that shit, that kid like the scream, and that shit was funny.
I think you see the scene, I think, a little bit later here where she kind of, he kind of eats
her. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like,
yeah.
It's very good stuff.
So good. But the movie, like, in the way that most sequels are in kids' movies, it is definitely darker. You know, Panagin aside. But it really, but addresses like PTSD too in a way that I was like, huh, okay, you're talking about this. Poe is straight up having panic attacks whenever he sees that symbol, like, and they're very and they don't shy away from that, and you know, like a lot of people do, he hides it from the rest of Furious Five until Tigress is straight up like, you need to fucking, like, you need to talk about this shit right now. And that's where there's a point where Poe is having the whole, you know, I don't know where I come from moment. And he's talking to her about it. And he goes, you know, I realized that my, you know, my dad isn't my dad. And she looks at him like, the goose isn't your dad. And that shows character growth, because her from the first movie would have been like, you're an idiot. What the fuck is wrong with you? But she actually like indulges him and actually talks to him through it. And I went, okay, that's a subtle thing that some people will just miss, but that is an actual big deal as far as like evolving for her. She gives him a hug.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, she gives him a hug later on in the film, and that's a moment you're like, wow, she really is like,
even the Furious Five are like, whoa.
like what's going on? You don't do that. But that look she gives him, like, dude, come on.
Your dad.
Just found out that my dad isn't really my dad.
Your dad?
Poe's just like, yeah.
Quite a shock.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, props to you for
this. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of my probably favorite aspects of this, the first movie and the second movie. First movie, they play Poe's dad as a goose, like almost as a joke, but also like very straight. Like, it's an animated movie. You're not gonna really question why his dad is a goose. But then in this one, they like, it becomes a plot point. Like, you get like how, what's his dad's name? Mr. Ping or something. You get
What is his dad's name? Yeah, Mr. Ping. Yeah, voiced by James Hong. Yeah,
legend there. But you get how Mr. Ping found Poe and like their relationship and how like he treats, like he just thinks of him as a son, like, and all that. And like, it's a very kind of adult conversation, adult theme for children to see, like, this dad be worried that like his son is gonna go find out his real dad, find out his real family and stuff like that. I just like how they really play with that in the first and second movie about Poe's dad and like that whole reveal. I think it's like super well done.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah. So in the sequel, so Jennifer Yeo Nelson directed it. So it's a different director than the two directors in the first one. John Stevenson and Mark Osborne directed the first one. So it's a different director here. And she went also to direct the third movie as well.
Okay. I thought so.
So that's very nice. And then amongst the returning cast that you have here, Jack Black, and there are also the, you know, Furious Five of like Seth Rogen, David Cross, Lucy Liu there, and also their Jackie Chan and Dustin Hoffman. You also do have some new members here. We mentioned Gary Oldman, who's the main villain here, Lord Shin, but you also have Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's the
Jean-Claude fucking Van Damme.
And you also have Dennis Haysbert, the Allstate man. You know, you're in good hands.
Oh, yeah.
Who's also been also in a variety of also things. I just love him in the Allstate commercials that come in.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
As the Ox, he comes in there. They're a duo there. And they say, like, with this invention, so the movie also kind of has a also a thing some martial arts movies do where it's kind of, hey, technology's moving forward. You know, it's kind of going to it's kind of going to make Kung Fu obsolete. You know, nobody's going to really do that anymore. And then with the presence of Lord Shin, it's like, well, yeah, he's going to do this canon type weaponry. It's like, well, you know, kind of Kung Fu is kind of going to be pointless there. And Kung Fu's dead, which you have that from the characters of Jean-Claude Van Damme as Crocodile and then Dennis Haysbert as Ox there. I'm like, damn, these names, man, they just Master Croc and Master Ox.
Yep. Like Master Ox.
It's just like, damn, it's like Viper and Monkey is like, hey,
honestly, I love it though. Like, because it gives them a level of prestige, actually kind of changing the names up a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. So you have that in this. So I like kind of like that element as well there. How did you like the threat of this movie just being like, it's kind of like cannons mostly? It's
kind of like, I kind of really enjoy that aspect. I know I like always thought of it like, is that cannons kind of mixed with like fireworks because just how the way it's animated and how it like looks, all like the sparks and just all that crap. But like, for that to be like the main opposition, the main threat of this movie that's going to kill Kung Fu is like such an interesting thing. Like how you said, like technology creeping in to kind of stamp out the traditional stuff. And that's kind of like what Shin is about. He like straight up, when he gets back home, he like throws the throne out the window. And it's like, nope, it's me now. Fuck you, mom and dad. But like, I like the cannon. I like the firework aspect of it. I really like how they kind of underestimated at first. They're like, even like Master Ox and the Rhino, like when Shin pulls up, they're like, oh, this is what you got. But yeah, it's an interesting weapon to bring in when like the first movie and the third are more about Kung Fu, fights, you know, like, and even though if it gets a little mystical with it. So I think this movie going with technology and like how Shin, because like in the backstory, it didn't even show like the soothsayer had a part in like creating it, right?
Yeah, which they do get into like her, how that really mirrors the first film with Master Shin and then the tiger who's now I'm totally blanking on.
Tai Lung.
Yeah, thank you. It really mirrors that story really well of, oh, wow, this was someone I was close to, and I probably gave them that little extra push that they definitely didn't need, and so now I have to live with that. Now I have to live with that. It's very Ninja Turtles in that way, too, But my God, like, it's so well handled because the peacock is just a dick. Like there is just a point
where he's an asshole.
Like, where he's like, he's ruled. Like he's got the city. Like after this, he could have stopped here, but it's not about stopping here. It's like, no. Everyone has to suffer because my parents set a very fair boundary and were like, we don't want you to be a dictator. And he went, and you know, in the peacock, you know, last name, you know, the peacock last name was Trump, did you? But but like this scene alone, you're like, oh yeah, your parents were 1,000% right to not want you to be leading this town.
I love the mini fight scene too, because like you don't get Shin fighting a lot, like his main thing is the cannon, and he's obviously not on the same level as Master Rhino here, or Master Ox. Got the pleasantries out of the
way. How do you like the voice work by Gary Oldman?
Oh, hell yeah. Gary Oldman kills it, I think.
Yeah. Very interesting choice,
It's really funny how just a little tweak in the tone can make him a great Commissioner Gordon or a terrifying peacock. Like, it's fascinating how that works with him. I love Seth Rogen in here. Like this is one of those times
Mantis
where Seth Rogen's bits really work. And you can tell he's having fun with this. I'm sure he was stoned as fuck recording these lines. but you can tell he's having a blast. You know, there's this point where he's like, yeah, you know, I thought I'd settle down, you know, find a girl, have her bite my head off. And it's like, and it's played completely straight. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, you are a man. Okay, yeah, okay, you would. This would be your honeymoon, I guess. But but the movie's really funny. But it's a lot, like, I would say the comedy, the drama is more, it's more dramatic than the first film. I would say the comedy does dip, but I don't even mean in quality, I just mean as far as the amount of jokes. But there's a lot more jokes. There's some really great sight gags that really work. We mentioned the whole puppet eating thing, but then it turns into like a straight up Pac-Man like centipede shot. It like clearly intentionally. I was like, oh, that's fucking clever. So I mean, the film does stuff like that that you go, that on a rewatch you'll go like, oh shit, I didn't catch that the first time.
Or even like the when Poe is trying to get was it Croc, James Van Dan Croc, and out of jail, and like they're just like flipping back and forth.
Oh, that was like fun. The sale.
Yeah. Really good stuff. But it's interesting, like how this and something like How to Train Your Dragon 2, how both these films definitely, you still feel the weight of what happened in the first film. But you know, Hiccup loses his dad in the second film, and you're like, fuck, and like halfway through too, like after finding his mom, and these DreamWorks sequels have done a really great job of adding on consequences, but still make keeping the films fun, but maturing the characters in a natural, a natural way.
I think like Last Wish is like the best example of that recently. Yeah. Like, well, I do not remember that first Puss in Boots movie at all, but
Last Wish is fantastic. I don't know, man. DreamWorks has been very, like, I've talked about it. I think, you know, as much as I'm cashing those Disney checks from my Marvel movie, I think Disney on the animation side has been really uninspired with a few exceptions. We were talking about Brandon, Luca.
Luca, Turning Red, and Soul.
And then I would say, like, I know it's a little further back, but Raya and the Last Dragon, I would say me. But
Encanto, you know, like.
Encanto, definitely. But then it's like Elemental, I was like, I watched
Disney Wish. Jungle Fever, that's about you.
The Hunter movie. Elemental, Wish, Good Dinosaur, Lightyear, it's been just a lot of uninspired crap on the animation side from Disney, and it's really frustrating, honestly, because with all the resources they have, they should be turning out at least good movies on a consistent basis on the animated side, and they really haven't been. Strange New Worlds was mid too.
Very mid.
I don't know what's going on the animation side, but they've been just slacking. And I think DreamWorks has really picked up that baton. Sony as well with the Spider-Verse films, but I think DreamWorks has really been
Isn't Mitchell's versus the Machine Sony?
Sony?
Yeah.
That just adds to the point. But like, I think one of the last things that Disney did, I think it was 20th Century, so technically Disney now, but I remember Ron's Gone Wrong was like, I had a ton of fun with that. But that was something that was so under the radar that they just did not fucking advertise. Shocker. just with the animation from the Disney side, it's felt very just bleh. And this is why you don't want anyone to have a monopoly on shit, because you get things like this when studios and companies think outside the box. And thank goodness, you know, for DreamWorks and these other studios are turning out alternative stuff to what Disney is, because this is a fantastic movie. And I don't think you get this from Disney, to be honest. So,
I mean, didn't DreamWorks really start with like a guy leaving Disney and being like, fuck you, Disney, I'm making Shrek. Yeah. And like Disney making fun of Disney the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, but dude, spite is a great, can be a great thing.
It is. It is. Man. It's a great motivator.
And there's a lot of, I think there's a lot more people in the Hollywood sphere than we even know who strictly worked to act as a counterbalance to Disney.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, for as much shit as we give Sony, they've made two god-tier Spider-Verse films that will be talked about 50 years from now as far as, like, how you teach animation. So, like, you can't, like, not many studios can say that. So, I mean, give credit where it's due. One of my favorite films, I mean, fuck, we got a Mutant Mayhem last year. Yeah. Like, that's one of the best animated films I've seen in decades. So, I mean, you know, you can still do great stuff in animation, but yeah, it's just, it's crazy to see how I think other companies have kind of leapfrogged Disney in that way. So,
With Kung Fu Panda 2 here, like I said, you know, additional voices here that you have here, new director, you know, and what I like about this a little bit more than the first one is now you do have Poe integrated into the team of the Furious Five, as we saw here, the action sequence here. You know, he's becoming a part of there. They're teaming up, doing a lot of combo moves, as you see. So they've fully fledged there. You get a little bit more with the Furious Five, I feel like, in this one, especially it's more development with Tigress, Angelina Jolie's character there, who Brandon said feels more like a secondary lead in this. But you see a lot more development with her, which was really good. I do think this does work on a lot of levels there with this.
I love this shot.
Yeah. Whether it's better than the first one, I think there's certain elements better than the first one for sure, and especially delving more into Poe's backstory, I think, which is really good. But I heard in the third one, it makes me do want to watch the third one, that you don't really get as much as the Furious Five as you do in the
second.
It's more.
There's a reason why.
And honestly, the reason they come up with, I remember like when I rewatched this during lockdown, I remember going, okay, yeah, you do actually explain this, because I was in the same camp you were. I was like, wait a minute, isn't that a lot less? And then you're like, oh, but because this thing happened. So it does make sense, and you get a lot of scenes between Bryan Cranston and Jack Black that just works so fucking well. I was like, okay, like this is it's very much like that third How to Train Your Dragon, where you get a little less hiccup and Toothless together, but there's an actual reason why the case, and you kind of go, okay, for where this needs to go, you kind of need to tweak some things. So
exactly.
But yeah, like I said, I saw the third one in 3D and I was just so fucking happy. I'm like, oh my god, like my high ass, like, oh my god, it's a village full of pandas. This is like the that could fucking exist. But we haven't talked about it yet. I don't know who did it, but the score in this. The score.
Is not, who is it?
I don't know.
Let's see here. It says Hans Zimmer, John.
Okay.
John
Powell. Oh, it's
Zimmer. I thought Hans Zimmer. I thought so.
Zimmer's great at just any movie. It's kind of annoying how great Zimmer is.
it's a bad movie. Like, I love his score for Dark Phoenix.
I do too, actually. And I fucking hate Dark Phoenix so much. But yeah, that score is great. This all around this movie, like, because I really was kind of trying to think of a actual like gripe that I have with it, but I don't know, like there's nothing that sticks out as bad. That's one thing too that we have to bring back, movies being like 95 minutes. Not everything needs to be 2 hours. Not everything needs to be an hour 50. Like sometimes something can just be 93 minutes, get you in, get you out. And thank you, DreamWorks, for actually remembering that, because there's a good amount of content in here, but it doesn't feel overstuffed. It's paced very well. And like when I got to the end of it, I was like, oh wow, I went on an emotional journey. There are a couple scenes I was just like, oh god, don't cry. This is a wonderful experience. And this is actually one of my favorite, like, I was thinking about my favorite sequels, like animated sequels. I was like, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and 3 are definitely on there. Puss in Boots: Last Wish is on there. And then it's like Toy Story 2.
Shrek 2.
I love Shrek 2, but like Puss in Boots is like, that was my homie. The moment I saw that cat, I was like, I don't care. I don't care who was you're the best. But it's just, it's amazing how well this film functions from start to finish. I'm gonna have to buy this on 4K.
I was trying to look for it on streaming, but it's not on Paramount Plus.
I had to rent it. Or no, I bought it when we're talking about it. I just bought it on Prime. I think it was like $8 or something like that. Yeah.
You could get all three movies for 21 for Blu-ray.
Very, very good deal, I think. That's for all three.
I'm that asshole though. Like if I know something exists in 4K, I can't have it Blu-ray. Like I have to spend the extra money and get a 4K. But I'm sure they'll put out another like edition of like all four movies since this.
Yeah, especially after the fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when did the third one come out? Because there's been a decent amount of distance.
It's been a time.
The third one.
2016. So I mean, it's been 8 years. Like that's.
I mean, there's been kind of space between all of them. First one came out 2008. Second one came out 2011. Third one came out 2016.
That's fair.
So what'll be your rating?
I love this movie. I really just want to give it a somewhere between a strong tune in and a light cinema. Like I said before, I think this is like a top tier like action flick. If you're like into animation but maybe haven't like seen a lot of kung fu movies, I think this is like unironically a good start. Even with the voice cast, you get a lot of martial arts people in there. You get like Jean-Claude Van Damme, you get Jackie Chan, of course. Even Angelina Jolie's been in some martial arts movies. Of course, Michelle Yeoh and a bunch of other like cast just running out. It's like a perfect mix of martial arts, action, and comedy. But yeah, I love this movie. My favorite scene probably has to be when they're climbing up the falling tower, which is such sick scene. But yeah, super strong tune in for me. If you haven't seen this, like you've seen the first one, you think you're doing yourself a disservice by not seeing this one and the third one. You got to just complete it. Just do it.
Okay. I might see the third one. I might go ahead and watch it.
Check
it
you got out. Time. You got time before the fourth.
Yeah. So you said peak for you, Brandon?
Yeah.
Peak? Okay. Hunter, what about you?
This is like the same feeling I had when I got out of First Avenger. I was like, man, that's a great movie. I can't wait to see what they do with the sequel. And then the sequel improves on everything I love about First Avenger in every way, shape, or form. I don't say this often. I have adoration for everyone who's involved with this movie. Everyone knew what their job was. Everyone took it seriously. And they knocked it out of the park with this. Jack Black, like, I feel like we really undervalue Jack Black at this point. Because, like, between even stuff like The Cable Guy and, like, School of Rock and Super Mario Brothers in these movies and Bernie and The House of a Clock in Its Walls, which, that's a fucking banger. Like, Jack
even
Black
him in, like, great. The first Goosebumps movie, like, I really
enjoyed him. Like, Jack Black always, like, you never feel like he's not giving a shit. Tropic Thunder, we didn't even fucking mention Tropic Thunder.
Of course, yeah.
Like, we should have been one of the first things. But he's just great all the time. And Tenacious D, God bless Tenacious D. I fucking love Tenacious D. But the man just gets it. And there is a love that he clearly has for this character. Which makes me feel better about the fourth one, because I don't think he'd come back for a fourth film if there wasn't a reason to. Mm-hmm. But this is excellent. This is peak in the highest order. I haven't logged this on Letterboxd, but I have a lot to say about this. I goddamn, just great movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, watch this. Mm, nice.
Yeah. So with this one, finally seeing Kung Fu Panda 2 for the very first time, I think it is very good. Great animation that you have here. Really good action sequences. Like I said, the team is more now. You see more of them in their element now that Po's a part of it, which is really good. I always like to see a good team up there. I think the villain in this, I like the villain, I think, better in the first one than here. I like the more personal connection to the team as opposed to maybe the villain in the second one. But still very good job by Gary Oldman as Lord Shen here. Very good stuff they do with his design, being a peacock, like his flag. Somebody also pointed out the color of his is also like the Japanese flag there. Somebody kind of pointed that out there with like his what do you call it? The peacock's, not wings, feathers. Yeah, feathers there.
Yeah,
which is really nice. Yeah, so I really do. I would give it a peek myself. I think I gave the first one a tune in or high tune in or somewhere around there.
I think that's fair.
I think I did too.
Yeah,
so I think I'd be right there with y'all, like a high tune in for the first one.
Yeah. So it's got also good comedic elements here too. Good voice cast working really well here. I think some of my major complaints, I always love to see a good team there. I wish you get some more stuff from David Cross and Seth Rogen and Lucy Liu. There, I think most of it kind of, I understand it's a short movie. It's only an hour. It's like exactly an hour and 30 minutes. But at least more time to develop at least some of the other members of the team there. And this was the scaling of the billing that you were talking about.
Oh my God, so cool.
So good.
That is one of my favorite jokes from the first film is that Po has like action figures of all of them. He's like, oh my God, you're all so much bigger in person, except for you. You're basically the same. And it's like the... Po's so good. This chase scene, holy shit. This was so cool. There's this point where they're going down the stairs and Po just puts his fist out and the wolf is just basically like volleyball, tetherballing through his fist. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, there's just little things like that where you go, wow, these animators were clearly like, we're gonna show the fuck out on these action scenes. And the conversation that he has with his dad at the end, I was just like, oh God, I was like, this is just, feels. it's such a great film. I'm actually going to probably watch the third one tomorrow with my coffee. Like,
I do it.
Like, what a joy these are. Like,
And this was nominated for Best Animated Feature at the Oscars. The director there was the second woman to be nominated for Academy for Best Animated Feature at the time. And do you know what it lost to?
Oh God, what?
It lost to Rango.
Okay, that's fine. All right. I can deal with that. Because Rango is excellent.
It's pretty fucking
Rango
good.
Rango is pretty great.
The competition was Rango, A Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, and Puss in Boots.
Oh wow! First Puss in Boots came out.
Lost Puss in Boots. That's okay. I'm still okay with Rango winning. Yeah, crazy Johnny Depp playing someone who lies to the people.
And this was also very successful. It was the sixth highest grossing movie of the year when it came out in 2011.
Damn, nice.
Let's go.
Made quite a bit of considerable amount of money. Yeah, had a budget of $150 million. Made a box office of $665.7 million.
That's nice. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's why you get two more sequels after this,
dude. Seriously, damn, that's really good. Good for them.
And I like how it does respect a lot of the culture there that they're doing of. Like, much attention was paid to that, which I think is really nice.
Oh yeah, man, they could have iron fisted the shit so easily.
Oh man,
have that panda talking to everyone about this is how you do kung fu.
No,
but yeah, so. Peaks all around for Kung Fu Panda.